May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel reading, especially these words, "See, your king is coming to you." You may be seated. Dear saints, last Sunday we meditated on the reality that Christ is our king. We discussed his royal qualities. Jesus is unlike any earthly king that ever was or ever has been. He is the king of righteousness, the king of mercy, the king of love. He is a king who forgives those who mock him, who spit upon him, who murder him. He is a king that grants repentance even while he's dying on the cross, promising the thief an eternal life in paradise after death. And yet, in his meekness and humility, he is the king ruling the entire universe, holding all things in his hands. Today, we want to consider the kingship of Jesus from a slightly different perspective. We want to understand how it is that Jesus reigns. That is, how does he rule us? What and where is this kingdom? Is it something that is among us now? Or is it only something that we're waiting for? What does the prophet Zechariah mean when he says, "See, your king is coming to you"? One modern view that you may have heard of is called dominionism. This is a strain of American political thought that believes that if we pass the right civil laws, if we have the right political systems, we can usher in the kingdom of God now in this place and in this time, specifically America. The idea is that the primary task of Christians is to take dominion over the earth through earthly institutions. Adherents of this view believe that if our institutions can be sufficiently Christianized, if human morality can be improved enough, if society can be made progressively better and better and better, this will bring about Christ's return in glory. They're post-millennials, if you like that word. Once we're good enough, Jesus will come back. Perhaps this is what the Palm Sunday crowd was looking for: the rule, the reign of Christ visibly on earth. According to Matthew's gospel, the Palm Sunday crowd was experiencing something quite different. They were experiencing the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy: "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Their king was coming to them, the promised Messiah, the descendant of King David, who would restore the kingdom, who would sit on the throne of David forever and ever. These people had seen the miracles. They had experienced the healings. They had had their fill of the bread and the fish. And they had even heard that Jesus could raise people from the dead. They had heard Jesus proclaim that the kingdom of God was at hand, and so that is what they expected, the kingdom of God. And so they shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They sort of get it. Their words ring true. They see Jesus. They see him riding into Jerusalem, the seat of power. They see him riding in like King Solomon had done centuries earlier. They see their king. He's coming to take charge. He is there to do something. But what? Something isn't quite right. Because, of course, this king would die just a few days later. They misunderstand the coming of Christ's kingdom, of the way in which he will reign. They see him, they hear his words, and yet they do not rightly believe. That first Palm Sunday, the crowd was expecting the revealing of what we call in theological terms God's kingdom of power. The kingdom where we see with these eyes of flesh Christ visibly reigning on the earth, putting all his enemies under his feet, restoring the earthly kingdom. They waited for a king whose earthly dominion was clear to everybody, when the enemies of the Jews would be wiped out once and for all, but that was not the kingdom that Jesus was bringing, not yet, anyway. That was not the reign he was ushering in. Instead, it was a different kind of kingdom, what we refer to as the kingdom of grace. The kingdom of grace. With Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, and ascension, the old covenant was coming to an end, and a new covenant was beginning. This kingdom was inaugurated through the death and resurrection of the King. It is the kingdom which started when forgiveness, your forgiveness, was won on the cross, and it is the kingdom that continues as that forgiveness is poured out to you again and again and again as we wait for Christ's return. It is the kingdom that is delivered to you here through the church. It is the kingdom of God in which the word of God is preached to all nations, when each person, man, woman, and child is given the opportunity to repent and believe the gospel, Jew and Gentile. It is the kingdom in which we are waiting, in which the Lord waits. He waits for the number of the saved to be completed. He waits in patience, holding back his wrath over wickedness, over unbelief, until the kingdom of power is revealed on the last day. Well, the kingdom of power exists. Christ does indeed rule the nations. He does work all things for good to those who believe. And yet that kingdom is hidden for now. It is veiled. We will one day experience it. You will one day see with those eyes of flesh Jesus on his throne. But for now, we live in the kingdom of grace, in which Christ rules in a different way, not by earthly power, but through humble means. In this kingdom of grace, things look a little different. Things don't look like the Palm Sunday crowd expected for certain. They don't look like we always expect, but rest assured that this kingdom of grace in which we live, Christ does reign. In fact, he exerts the fullest extent of his power, the most visible displays of his glory right here among us as we gather around his word and sacraments, right here among you, the citizens of the kingdom. See, your king is coming to you. Jesus is present here now to bless you. Unlike that Palm Sunday crowd, we know the full extent of Christ's kingdom. We know what happened on the cross. We know what happened on Easter. We know what happened 40 days later when he rose to heaven. Even though they physically saw Jesus, we see him even more clearly through eyes of faith. The way Jesus comes to us now, the way he reigns now, is even more certain, more obvious, more magisterial than the Palm Sunday crowd experienced or could have even imagined. And you get to see it. You witness it here in the divine service. We only see it through faith. See, your king is coming to you. You believe, and so you see. For now, the church is Jerusalem. The church is Mount Zion, where we call out to others that the Lord may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so what is it that we see? With eyes of flesh, we see some guy up in the front, the pastor, telling us our sins are forgiven and reading the Bible. But with eyes of faith, we see that it is God forgiving our sins. It is God speaking to us in his word. We look at people sitting in the pews around us, and with eyes of flesh, we see just ordinary folk who, let's face it, aren't exactly perfect. But with eyes of faith, we see our brothers and sisters, fellow citizens of the kingdom. With eyes of flesh, we see some water in a bowl and a nice quaint way to welcome a new baby into the congregation. With eyes of faith, we see Satan being crushed and the kingdom of God extended through baptism. With eyes of flesh, we see a little bit of wine and a not so tasty cracker. However, in faith, we sing, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. In the Lord's Supper, with eyes of faith, we see the King coming to us. As did the crowd on Palm Sunday, we welcome the King using the same words that they used. See, your King is coming to you. Your Jesus is coming to you, in, with, and under the bread and the wine of the sacrament. On Palm Sunday, it was a humble donkey. Each Lord's Day, it's some humble food and drink. His kingdom of grace comes to you in the forgiveness of sins as you eat his body and drink his blood. His body is here in your hands and on your lips. It is as real as the body seen by the crowd on Palm Sunday. Yet it is even greater than that, for it is the crucified and risen body of our Lord for you. This is how Christ rules now in his kingdom of grace. He comes to you visibly, physically, audibly, with words, but only the faithful see him. He comes in the humility of Palm Sunday and in the power of Easter. He comes in earthly things like water and bread and wine, yet when combined with his almighty, powerful word, these things bestow on you eternal benefits. To be a citizen of his kingdom, to have Christ as your king, is to have him rule over you in this way. It means that we trust that he is doing exactly what he says he will do, what he has done in our baptism, in his word, in the supper. It means that we avail ourselves of these things as frequently as possible. For in these ways, see, your King is coming to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.